Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce is here. We're talking about a book that we mentioned briefly last week about a remarkable track athlete.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I knew who Abdi Abdurrahman was because I was a track coach and I follow track and field, especially in the Olympics and the like. But I had no idea what an incredible life story he's had or what a remarkably enchanting guy he seems to be. So when our friend of the show, friend of mine from the Sport Literature Association, Miles Schrag, mentioned that he had a new book out on Abdi Abdurrahman, I said, well, yeah, I mean, we loved To Imogen, A Flagstaff Love Letter. We loved Chasing Excellence about Coach Joe Veal by Pat Malgaris that Solstice Publishing published. This is like their other books, one of those books that the care going into making the book is as astonishing to me as what's inside. Now, for people who know who Abdi Abdurrahman is, he is the only American athlete to perform in 5 Olympics. What's astonishing is along the way he missed one. It could have been 6. He was hurt one year and unable to qualify. He was born in Somalia, but he grew up here. He moved here when he was 12. Family settled in Tucson, and he went to high school in Tucson and eventually to Pima Junior College, and he did not start running until he was 19. Now, he had loved to run in terms of playing games, and early in the book tells a story about growing up in Mogadishu, and all the guys would play this game, which is very much like our sort of hide-and-seek or capture the flag. And he loved being the last guy nobody could catch, so he's always enjoyed running. The family was very lucky to survive the Civil War in Somalia. They were able to catch basically a private boat to Mombasa, because that's where they're in Kenya, where they were refugees from Somalia were being settled. They almost got on a boat that didn't make it, and over 200 people died. So he's got this sort of sense of this importance in his life. His mother gave birth to a young child as soon as they arrived, and this wonderful Italian nurse sort of took them in and helped them. He would tell you that he got lucky along the way. And before we get into all of his sort of career stats, he makes the best distinction between luck and accomplishment I've ever thought. He said, luck is something good that happens to you. An accomplishment is something that you do, which is good for you or good for somebody else. And we think about that so often in sports, you know, it's the luck of the draw. You know, we drew Michigan. They only drew somebody else, right? He would say that has nothing to do with luck. That's not luck. Luck is just something good that happens, you know? So he gets to America and he moves to Tucson, and while he's in high school, kids are trying to get him to run because he looks like a runner. He's tall. He's incredibly thin. He looks like so many of those Northwest African runners, whether they be from Kenya, Eritrea, Ethiopia. And Flagstaff will play a role in this later. But Tucson, it must remember, is in the mountains. Yes, it's in the desert, but it's in the mountains, so it's a good place to train. And he finally gets talked into going out for the Pima cross-country team, and he's so good at it, he gets recruited to the University of Arizona, where he graduates in 2001. And it's clear at this point in time, this guy can run. But not only can he run, he loves to run. And he, you know, one of the things I could never understand about distance running, and I think I do after this book, and coaching it, I never completely understood it, studying it in other ways, it's really hard. Being a distance runner is really difficult. I would argue that the 400, 800, and 1600 are the toughest races in track because they require speed and endurance at different levels. But you start on a marathon, the 10,000 meters, things like that, and I can't fathom wanting to run that long. And these guys are going out and running 10-mile warm-ups. Well, obviously there is something genetic. And certainly the build of these runners, the natural build of these runners with thin legs and very slender ankles and lower calves has been shown physiologically to be beneficial. But not every distance runner looks like that. But if you don't love doing it and just figure that the hurt is part of the loving it, you'll never be good. And he comes off as the most effusive, happy, wonderful guy. Everybody loves him as a teammate. But here are just some of the things that he has accomplished so far. And he has not stopped training. In fact, I only found out we can have him on live on December 1 because he's not going to be training that day. He told Miles that he could do it that day. All right, he was an Olympian in 2000, 2004, 2008, 2012, 2020. He was in the marathon in 2020. He was in the marathon in 2012, and he was in the 10,000 meters in 08, 04, and 2000. In the 2007 World Championships, he was seventh in 10,000 meter, and he was in the World Championships in 2000 through 2007. He started concentrating on the marathon later in his career, and in 2000. It would have been 19. The Olympics were pushed off. So in the New York Marathon 3 years ago, he finished third place and became the oldest man ever to qualify for the United States for the marathon at age 43. At age 43, you might have gotten me to jog around the track with the kids once or twice to sort of loosen up and talk about things. The idea of running 26.2 miles at that age, to me, is astonishing. And he's not through training. He is now 45 years old, or about to be 45 years old, and he is continuing to train as if he might compete at the World Cup level, at the world level after this. He remarkably went back to, he had to learn Swahili when he went to Kenya. He speaks the Arabic of his native Somalia. Somali, I guess it's a version of Arabic. He speaks fluent English. I mean, he wrote this book. He had some help editing from Miles and another. But he brings out the idea to me that is the best of the whole Olympic ideal. Abdi is not a multimillionaire. I mean, he made good money in international track. You can do that. He had the same car that he loved for 10 years, even when he was competing on the big stage. He's competed in the Diamond League championships in Europe. He's got, you know, I'm sure as a speaker and as a guest coach, he can make a good living. But his whole idea is that I live in Tucson. I'm part of the community. He at different times trained in Flagstaff. Now, Flagstaff, for people that don't know, their wintertime climate is not remarkably different than ours. They get about 100 inches of snow.
Because of the elevation?
Elevation. They get about 100 inches of snow in Flagstaff. That's between 8,000 and 11,000 feet. They rarely have a day in the 90s in the summer, and of course it is a drier kind of climate. Now down in Tucson, it's different. That's, you know, we know Tucson gets well into the hundreds and all that. But he also trained out in California at Mammoth, and was one of the first Americans to go back, who had come from Africa, to go back and train at altitude. And he went back and he trained at in altitude in Ethiopia. And he learned a lot about running there, and he's been able to teach a lot of people about training and altitude. He was so good that his coaches told him, no, if you want a day off, just tell us. He didn't have to say, I need a day off. He would just say, I'm taking today off. And they said, fine, because his training was so good, and he would make everybody who trained with him better. And they say that guy beat him. He never held a grudge about that. You know, even if the guy was from somewhere else, he's always wanted to be on top of his game. I'm really interested to talk to him because I'd like to hear him talk a little bit about moving from Somalia to Kenya to the U.S., what it was like, and to only start running at age 19. I mean, you think about that. Mm. I think, Ben True from Maine just finished seventh in the Boston Marathon overall for men. Now, I remember him running in high school. He's from down that way, as we like to talk about Southern Maine and running. He went to Dartmouth, great runner. I look at a guy like him who's been a professional runner and done very well. He finished higher in the marathon, actually, than Abdi ever did. But I think of the dedication, the constant working at it, having to, you know, keep your Q contracts, all those kinds of things to keep life going, and talking about how hard a slog it is. You never hear that from Abdi. It was hard training. You know, that's the way it was. Which is not in any way to denigrate any other runner, but just to say he seems to have a different kind of attitude.
Yeah.
about him. It's a really good work. And now Solstice Publishing has a U in it, as in the word soul, like soul music. Solstice Publishing, they're out of Flagstaff. This is the third book, their third book, our third book that we've talked about, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. There are lots of, there are some fabulous pictures in here that just, you know, remind you of what's really good about track and field and running. And it's, you know, if you have five rings, if you're Derek Jeter and you got one for the thumb, that's considered really a big deal. That includes playing on a great team. If you're a distance runner, yes, you have to train with other people. You have to have good coaching. But you do that all on your own. When that gun goes off, you're on your own.
Right.
And, yeah, they have rabbits in international competitions. All that. Still, you are your own person at that point. You get to get walk in five opening ceremonies at the Olympics. You get to get five Olympic jackets. Man, that's really an accomplishment. So, great book, Abdi's World, A-B-D-I apostrophe S, from Solstice. It's got a foreword by Mo Farah, which many track nuts will know about his great career. So we'll talk to Abdi in a couple of weeks.
That's excellent. What's coming up next week on Sports Lit?
I think what we're going to talk about next week, I've just got a slew of new sports poems from different people, and I think what we're going to do is have some of those. If not, we will be talking about soccer.
I thought you didn't like soccer.
I don't. But I feel like we have people who listen who do, and
it's kind of a big sport.
It's a lot of people play it.
Yes, a lot of people love it and follow it.
Here's something really interesting: if you have a young, talented female athlete in Maine, think about this: move to Skowhegan and have her play field hockey.
Well, yeah.
In the 26 years Paula Dowdy's been there, she won't brag like this, but I know her husband. I've known him a long time. I know Paul too. 51 Division I scholarships.
Wow.
You think there have been 51 Division I soccer scholarships in the state of Maine in 26 years?
No.
I bet you there are.
Not football, not basketball. Pick a sport. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a couple in hockey, couple in skiing, probably. Mm. But yeah, 51.
Wow. That's remarkable.
Scholarships. Yeah.
Well, there you go.